This is the All Things Nerd Podcast, Season 4, Episode 3. On tonight's show, we got a lot to talk about. We're doing trailer reactions. We're going to be talking about Morbius and Bloodshot. We're also going to be talking about new TV shows, Superman and Lois and Walker, Texas Ranger. We're going to talk about old scripts that never got made and give our thoughts on which one was better. And lastly, we're going to talk about science with bricks. Living bricks that can reproduce. We'll get more into that. Enjoy the show, sit back, relax, and here's the intro. Welcome to the All Things Nerd Podcast. I am Mest, your host, Mest5150, back with another episode. This podcast is brought to you by Malice-Corp.com. Head on over there to get all of your nerd, geek, and pop culture fixes. And if you want to support us, make sure you click on the Amazon link while you're there if you're going to be purchasing something from Amazon. Thank you for listening. Wherever you're listening, make sure that you're dropping a review, subscribing, and letting us know how the show is. If you give us a 5-star review, we'll go back and read it and let everybody else know what you had to say. So thank you for that. I am your host, Mest5150, and the way that we open this show is called Get Your Geek On.
Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Getting Your Geek On is when we talk about the stuff that people are, that we've been doing, doing since we last saw you, things that you should be checking out, things that you should stay far away from, all that stuff. We're doing a public service for you to let you know what's great and what's not so great so you don't waste your time on things. I'm going to go into a little bit of something that was happening today because it's been like really enraging my geek, and it was the Obi-Wan fiasco, because we're not going to talk about this on the show, but these articles came out talking about how Obi-Wan was being canceled over at Disney for Disney Plus. And here's the thing. This is why we don't talk about stuff until we fact check. I did fact checking, and the people that were talking about it didn't have any full actual sources. It was just sources say. And one of the articles actually brought up that they didn't know what Star Wars project they were going to work on now that they were canceling Obi-Wan, when just 3 days prior, they had actually put out an article saying that they're going to be working on a Knights of the Old Republic series. And if you just wrote an article saying that, why wouldn't you know that that's the next thing that people are going to be working on? And it didn't make sense. So finally, the wrap came out. The wrap did their digging. They figured it out, and they let everybody know, hey, this was a hoax that was done on Twitter that sites that don't do their fact-checking got a hold of and told people that it was being canceled. But Ewan McGregor's people have actually come back and said, it's not being canceled. Don't listen to whatever is out there, and you guys can all be happy and healthy and know that Obi-Wan is not being canceled. Other than that, my geek out was watching the Arrowverse and the finish to the crossover for Crisis on Infinite Earths, which I think was fantastic, but I wanted to get other people's thoughts on that as well. And that's why I'm going to roll right over to one of my podcasters in arms. Icy Zorro is here on the cast. What have you been geeking out on, Icy, and how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Coming to you from beautiful downtown Denver, as you can see from the clearly well-lit hotel room that I'm in.
He's geeking out on electricity.
I'm geeking out on being in the dark by myself. went to go see 1917 is a fantastic film. The whole thing is shot to look like it's one long shot. I mean, there's a couple of places where it obviously cuts over, but it was beautifully done. Really good story. Something to avoid. I made the mistake of watching the Will Smith movie Gemini Man. Don't waste your time. Don't do it. It's not good. Let's see what else. I finished reading a book from Brandon Sanderson. He's got a little sci-fi series. The second book in it was called Starsight, and that was pretty good. Other than that, just traveling around for work.
Red says, turn on some lights, for God's sakes.
Literally, the only light in here that is not turned on is the one directly behind me, which would just make my face even darker.
Here's the thing. We record this live on Twitch, so if you're listening to this later, you're not seeing the video feed, and you're not being able to interact. So every Friday, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, come join us, and you can make comments like, hey, your lighting sucks.
like, Like I see his live from the cave that they that Tony Stark escaped from.
Yeah. And you just heard him. Masonic Vader's also on the cast. How are you, sir? And what have you been geeking out on?
I am doing well, sir. And I have been geeking out on. I finally got to watching. I've started binging. I'm on season two already. Marvel's Runaways, which is an interesting show. It's interesting.
It's such a good show. And the third season's getting ready to come out, and they already canceled it.
No, the third season's already out.
It's fourth season
they're going to do. Yeah.
Is the fourth is the one that's coming? Because they just canceled it after they finished. Yeah.
I know the third season's there, and I'm about halfway into the second. So it's an interesting series. It's a different – once again, I think they're trying to reach out to that other group like Guardians of the Galaxy.
Is the third on Hulu or on Disney Plus?
I think they're all on Disney Plus.
Oh, they moved them all over? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and then, not to do, I don't know. Don't fall into the Fallout 76 trap. It still sucks.
You're still talking about that.
That's actually the next game I'm going to play.
Okay.
Fallout 76, Fallout 1, whatever the heck you call it. Hey, let's have you buy a game. And then, hey, let's let you subscribe so you get all these other cool stuff. And yeah. Jackasses.
Jack says, well, he yells Sanderson in the chat room, but he's geeking out on the announcement of a City Watch show. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Pratchett. I think we talked about this 2 years ago when they were putting it in development. So it's finally.
Discworld?
Yeah. The Discworld series that was being worked on. I'm pretty sure we talked about it 2 years ago when I first found out that they were.
Yeah. I vaguely remember that.
And on naps, he's been geeking out on naps. He wants more naps and tacos, I think. He didn't say it yet, but I'm reading his mind. He's going to definitely say the tacos. He needs more tacos. He needs to geek out on more tacos.
Red's geeking out on that weather wherever they're at.
Minnesota.
Yes.
Way up there in the north, you know.
And there's the tacos. Okay. Back to your guys' geek outs really quick. 1917, is it going to win Best Picture? Because it won for Golden Globes.
Strong contender. I've seen probably four of the movies that have been nominated for Best Picture, and of them, 1917 is the best, in my opinion.
Awesome. And also joining us lastly on the cast, we have A.A. Ron. What you up to, sir? What you been geeking out on?
Oh, God. This week, I was geeking out on memorizing the backs of NyQuil containers.
And recipes, because you're live from the kitchen.
I was dead with people.
Hello.
Clinically and emotionally dead.
And we don't pay for extras in the background, do we?
I hope not.
Now I've been part of the All Things Nerd podcast. She has to talk about everything we're talking about now, too.
Yeah, I hope not. Otherwise, my roommates are owed some money.
Jack says Joker needs more awards, but not mentally. And Redmi Plus is Parasite or 1917. Joaquin for Joker, unfortunately. I don't say unfortunately. I think he definitely deserves it for Joker.
He absolutely does. That was a quintessential performance. I mean, he's reaching like Daniel Day-Lewis levels of acting right now, and it's amazing to watch.
Yeah. I want to get quick thoughts if you guys are caught up or not on it, because my geek out was the Crisis on Infinite Earths. I want to know what you guys thought about the final product of that. Because I know for Aaron, did you catch up? Did you watch all of it?
No, I have not. I'm not sure that I want to be honest. I haven't liked the direction that the CW shows have been going for a long time. I lost you
this right now. This is why I wanted to get your opinion. The one thing that you loved about Supergirl and how it was off on its own, no longer. Everything is Earth Prime. Everybody's together. And so now you'll probably have crossovers like crazy over on Supergirl. Mm-hmm.
As well. Well, maybe it'll be worth checking out and getting back into. But as of now, as of the past four seasons, at least for most of the shows, I have not been happy with the way that they've been taking the characters, and I've not been happy with the way that they've been doing the writing. So I kind of give up on it. But maybe now is a good time to get back into it.
Well, it's a new direction. So I think that's the thing. Basically, what it ended up being was exactly what Crisis on Infinite Earths was for the comic books, where they were like, we have so many storylines and timelines. Now everything's all one, and you're not
going to have
alternate. Yeah. There's no more alternates. There's one hero everywhere, you know, so which means they're not going to get rid of.
I was a little confused by the end of it because they were still showing other worlds. They were still showing like
other worlds, but not
all of the main show people are just on Earth Prime.
All the main show are on Earth Prime, and there's not other versions of them on other worlds. So there are other worlds, but the other worlds are only going to have different type of characters 100%. So the Teen Titans.
Well,
only the Teen Titans are over there. You're not going to have Robin show up on Earth Prime on
Arrow. Right, but Brandon Routh's Superman was still on Earth 96.
I saw that one, and that one didn't make sense to me because they said that that's he's not the same character. He's not same actor, but it's not the same character. But then there is another Clark Kent Superman. Yeah, that's okay. I don't know. Yeah. That's what they said, and then they showed that. So whatever.
they just wanted to put him in the tights again. That's all.
Let's get right into what we're here to talk about, all the different stuff that's going on with nerd, geek, and pop culture. We're going to start this episode out with In a World.
In a city, in a town, in a world, they thought they had it all figured out. But there was one thing they didn't plan on.
In a World is our movie trailer reactions, our thoughts on the big trailers that came out for the week that have to do with nerd, geek, and pop culture. Well, I mean, they're movie trailers. They always have to do with pop culture, but dealing with nerd and geek. So the first one, it's an actor you all love. You all love to love him. You love seeing him in all different roles. And
I just like when he plays music.
We got another one of he jumped from DC ship over to the Marvel ship, which is owned by Sony portion of it. And we got a Morbius trailer with Jared Leto. Woohoo.
Hey, you know what? Jared Leto gets a bad rap because of the freaking terrible writing he had to endure on freaking Suicide Squad. He acted his ass off for that freaking role.
Yeah, but he also
gets a bad rap
because boxes of human feces to his co-star.
Well, yeah, and maybe that was a little too far. I mean, no one's not going to say that he's not eccentric.
he's a little bit method. Yeah.
Jack says Leto gets a bad rap because he is bad.
He is not bad.
He is a good actor.
He has had amazing roles. I mean, even the little role that he did in freaking Blade Runner 2049 was phenomenal. Yeah. So
actor.
I'm hoping that the quality of writing, and the quality of the production of this new Morbius movie, because it looks like it could be decent. And Morbius is not really a hard character to nail as much. He's not as nuanced as someone say, like the Joker.
Is Morbius a big part of the comic world? I've never heard of it before.
Yeah, so
kind of. Yeah, he's not as big as your Daredevils or your
Spider-Man. He's not a marquee name.
No, he's not. But they're dipping back into what Marvel did so well at the beginning of the freaking franchises. They're taking B and C list superheroes and they're building them up because no one has super high expectations for a Morbius movie except the diehard fans.
And I'm assuming that it's tied into the larger Marvel universe as a whole. We got Michael Keaton right into the trailer.
They're at least tying it to the Tom Holland's universe.
Yeah. But
I did read a couple of articles that Sony's end game is to have the Spider-Verse crossover with Maguire and Garfield 2. So that could be the beginnings of what we're seeing here. I know it's something that they've been kicking around for a long time, especially since the Into the Spider-Verse cartoon movie came out. I mean, everyone has been going, if they can do it in a cartoon, then why can't we throw freaking Raimi's and Garfield's Spider-Man into the fold too?
Yeah. As long as it's not emo Spider-Man.
Let me get this chat room. There's some stuff that's being said. Josh Callis joins us in the chat room as well. Since Blade Runner was his only good role so far, he was good on TV as well.
Dallas Buyers Club was fantastic.
He won an award for that. And it wasn't Freaks and Geeks. Was it Freaks and Geeks that he was on?
I think My So-Called Life.
My So-Called Life, yes. Yeah. He was fantastic in My So-Called Life, and he is great. I will say it once again. He is great in Fight Club, seeing him get the utter crap beat out of him. I love watching
it. Yes. I felt like destroying something beautiful.
Exactly.
And Jack asked which Morbius is. So to explain, Morbius is the living vampire from Spider-Man. That's the movie that's being made. And it's just showing how he's dealing with a blood disease. And then he figures out a cure, which is with the vampire bats hybrid. Then he starts getting the powers. Then he looks like he's running around like Nightcrawler. Mm-hmm. And you have a great.
Yeah, that was kind of cool.
Yeah. And you have a great supporting cast in this. You did see a poster of Spider-Man on the wall with Murderer written on it. We do get a little dose of the but the current Spider-Man films, because we do have the Vulture tie-in at the end talking to Michael Keaton.
Yeah.
So looks like they're setting up Sinister Six. The whole tone and look and feel of this is very Venom in terms of the color palette outside of when he's using his powers. So they're setting up that world. Now, the only thing I have to say with this trailer, for me personally, I've seen this movie before with Jeff Goldblum. It was called The Fly, and I love Brendel Fly a lot more. that's what I got from the trailer. What did you? What about you, Icy?
Like I said, this is not a character that I know very well, and I'm definitely going to see it, especially with it tying into the MCU.
Did you ever watch the Spider-Man cartoon that was in the late 90s, early 20s?
Not really, no.
You would know Morbius from that. He was the white vampire bat looking dude.
Is he a hero? Is he a villain? Is he riding the fence?
Technically a villain.
Yeah, technically a villain. He rides the fence the same way that Venom does sometimes, between anti-hero and full-on villain. But he's got beef with Spider-Man in most of the comics. He's got a lot of beef with Spider-Man, which is the same thing that that they do with Venom. I mean, they'll make Venom an anti-hero, but as soon as Spider-Man gets involved, he goes full villain.
Red said, "Great."
Red
says, great, Joaquin had to act his ass off to get rid of the bad taste Jared left in our mouths, which even DC understands that to it. When you watch the trailer for Birds of Prey, the little jabs that they do on getting rid of Joker. So
is it not in the chat room, but in a private message to me,
Morbius, also known as Ghost Runner Morbius. I believe it's a hybrid of the two, Jack.
Not in the chat room, but on a private message to me, one of my friends.
No, it's Bitey Bitey Morbius.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. One of my friends sent me a text that said that Jared Leto is essentially the poor man's Cillian Murphy.
Surprisingly, I was actually excited to see it. I like him as a character inside the comic books. He was like an alternative to Blade, something different, something... I want to say more grittier in the comic book, like not to say Blade's not gritty, but it just had this like old school Transylvania. Like we're trying to bring old monsters to comic book life. And when you're seeing the trailer, Jared Leto looked the part. He looked a hell of a lot better than he did as a freaking Joker. I'll tell you that. I mean, obviously we're not seeing his acting chops in it yet. We're just kind of going by looks and some stuff. So and I am excited to see how they're going to mix everything in, because I do believe, like I think I overheard you when you guys were chatting, that it will be Sinister Six, and that's going to be
since we got that little
absolutely, and I mentioned that last year. I saw them getting that together. I mean, everyone saw it at the end, but it's a nice twist to bring Morpheus in there Morbius. Sorry, shut up. Turn some lights on. Barely see you, jackass. All right. So I'm excited.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah. So
yeah. Here's a good question. Josh Callis asks, well, do you think they're going to link the Morbius movie into the reboot for Blade? No, because this is still Sony. Yeah. But they can. They can reference things that happen in the MCU. That's part of the new. They actually brought that up after the trailer came out. Part of the new deal is that the Sony films, so like Venom, didn't reference anything having to do with the MCU. Now all the films that they have that are Sony properties can reference the MCU.
Okay, good. Well, that'll be nice. I mean, because I don't know if you guys are taking a look at the cast listing yet, but they're actually J.K. Simmons is reprising his role as J. Jonah Jameson for the Morbius movie.
Nice. So
you've got him. You've got that tie. You've got Michael Keaton's tie. So, yeah, the MCU influence is definitely going to be heavy in this. So that's a good sign for me, because when Sony's left to their own devices, they don't really perform well.
Let's move on to the second trailer that he brought to my attention. This is another comic book character. I remember hearing that this movie was being made a while ago, and then I just forgot about it, because just like Valiant Comics, everybody just forgets about him because they didn't sell the way that they had their little rise, and then they kind of fell. And this was the big character from Valiant Comics. This is Bloodshot. And we got the Bloodshot trailer with Vin Diesel. And it's Vin Diesel being Vin Diesel. But
speaking of people that don't really act. Yeah.
It's the Vin Dieseliest that Vin Diesel's ever dieseled. It's amazing.
Mark Vincent, what did you do to yourself?
Now, I saw the first little trailer that was dropped to us, but I want to talk about the main trailer that actually got dropped, or giving us a little bit more of storyline, because there's one that's like just all action. And basically the all action trailer, it just looks like you're just watching Universal Soldier.
Yeah, much.
But this one actually shows what the whole effect of Bloodshot was in the comic books as well. Bloodshot was a soldier that was given nanites so he could he wouldn't die because the nanites would heal him.
They gave him a healing factor,
even though he was already dead. And he kept having to go out and do missions for the government because they would brainwash him and give him new memories of whatever vengeance he had to do. And that's what this trailer showed.
Somebody killing his wife.
Yeah. And doing that over and over and over again. And he finally breaks free. And that's what this trailer is showing. It gives us the whole plot of the movie in the trailer. So,
yeah, that's true. I don't really even need to go see this movie now because I already know the whole story.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's very much, if you watch the trailer, my opinion on it, and I'll get your guys' opinions, but it's Total Recall meets Universal Soldier meets Memento. And which
with starring Riddick. Yeah.
Because Guy Pearce is in this film, which was in Memento.
Excellent.
Yeah, it's just instead of a shine job, he's got bloodshot eyes now.
Yep.
Jack says, he says more than I am Groot.
Unbarely.
It's Universal Soldier mixed in with Groundhog Day.
Yep, mixed in with Memento.
Quick thoughts on Bloodshot, guys.
I don't know. I think it could be a fun ride. It definitely doesn't look like it's going to be anything like Upgrade was last year, or there's not going to be anything surprising or refreshing about going to see the movie. It's just going to be Vin Diesel at his Vin Dieseliest, and it could be fun. I mean,
it's a Vin Diesel action movie. That's all it is. I mean, I'll probably see it, probably not in theaters, but I'll see it after it comes out, just, you know, popcorn entertainment.
Definitely.
Jack keeps bringing up, nobody remembers Rise of Midnight Sun series? Blade, Ghost Rider, Wheeler, and Morbius. I remember it. It wasn't my favorite series. It was, and he put Lesai. And Josh said that would be sick if they did that all together. Yeah.
Yeah, if they did the CGI looked pretty sick. When he gets himself blown up and his face is getting ripped off by shotgun shells and stuff.
It reminded me of the movie that does not exist, X-Men 3, when Wolverine is trying to... blown apart.
You mean with his magic pants? You know, the pants that never rip?
Yep.
Yeah.
The only thing that bugs me about it is, you know, in the comics, there's a red circle on Bloodshot's chest. It's just what he looks like. And
bummer of a birthmark, Hal.
The way that they got it to do the red circle here, it's just a red light that comes out of his chest. And I was like, what the? Just tattoo a red circle on him. Give a meaning.
You know what? There are some, if you go back and look at it really quick, his suit has that red circle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not, but
it's just glowing. It's not.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's I don't know. Whatever.
It looks too reminiscent of Iron Man.
It looks interesting. So I, you know,
I'll probably... Yeah, the first thing I thought about was Groundhog Day, though. Like, they just keep replaying the day.
Universal Soldier with it, so.
Yeah. What was that, the more recent one?
Live, Die, Repeat. Tom Live, Cruise. Die, Repeat.
Yeah. Yeah. I will tell you what, if it's anything like, if they have a decent side protagonist like they did with Emily Blunt in Live, Die, Tomorrow, I will never get tired of watching Emily Blunt shoot Tom Cruise in the face. So if they could put something like that into Bloodshot and just have somebody that I like shooting Vin Diesel over and over again to get him used to the freaking time loops, I'd love it. And I, two thumbs way, way up for me.
Red Meatball brings up, and I'm glad she brings this up, because this is a big thing, is that, you know, not everybody's going to have... Valiant Comics was popular with comic book people, but beyond that, nobody really knows any of the characters from Valiant Comics. They weren't, like, you know, it's not like Superman and Spider-Man, which is like everybody knows who those characters are, even if you're not reading comic books. So she says, is it the story, the connection to the comic? What is the appeal of these movies? Of the Valiant Comics... is the most popular character that came out of it. And it was, here's the thing. Ben likes comic books. He's a comic book fan, and he wanted to get this movie made because he likes the character. And that's where the appeal came, is he just wanted to make it. And it was a cool story and it's a cool character. And let's see if we can get other people to like this. And Valiant is trying to reboot itself for the last 6 years. It's trying to do all this stuff, and it's not working. And maybe this movie will be what does it for Valiant.
I hope so, man, because what they did as a comic book industry to the comic book industry as a whole is actually going to help out the movie industry, because there are some really good characters like Bloodshot that are out there that no one knows about, like you just said, like, you know, because of the fact that you have Superman, Batman, all the mainstream characters. And if you can find the right person to write a screenplay for it and then get it directed, man, there's a ton of stories out there that haven't been told yet.
I know. Just look at what Netflix and Fox did with Lucifer, the Lucifer freaking franchise.
Oh yeah,
it's something that Neil Gaiman doesn't really have. Well, he's got a really, really strong cult following, but he's not a DC, he's not a Marvel guy, and they took the Lucifer comic and they turned it into something phenomenal.
Oh yeah, I love that show, and I like that they tied it in on Crisis on Infinite Earths too.
Yeah,
little cameo from him.
3 years running, I'm pretty sure that's been the most streamed thing on Netflix, or at least in the top five. And I mean, all from a character that really no one had any stake in at all. So they can do something really good with Bloodshot. I'm all for it. I'm all for it.
Jack says you can look at it two ways. They have made enough money, so comic fans are getting to make stuff they want because they prove comic movies can be good, or they're scratching the bottom of the barrel. You pick.
I saw a comment in there from Josh.
Porque no los dos.
Did you see the comment in there about Josh Callis about the red dot? Might have been supposed to be referenced to Japanese flag.
Yeah, I thought it was something along. I can't remember. It's been so long since I read Bloodshot, so I. All right, let's move on to the nerd news. We're gonna start off with our TV stuff first. TV CW is renewing everything, and to go along with renewing everything, they have two new shows that they have ordered.
New? Would we say new?
They're old properties, but new kind of.
90s episodes. They're bringing back the 90s.
I know.
They ordered Superman and Lois.
Lois and Clark. Oh, I'm sorry. Superman and Lois. My bad.
It's the Tyler. Sorry,
Dean Cain and Terry Hatcher. Wait, no.
Ashlyn and Elizabeth Tulloch, Superman and Lois, that you've seen in the Arrowverse. They're getting their own series now, which we'll get that.
I like Betsy Tulloch quite a bit, but she's got a slightly lazy eye. It's distracting.
Oh my gosh.
And then
he's no Terry Hatcher.
And then they ordered Jared Padalecki's Walker Texas Ranger remake.
Yeah, it's just that I can't believe that they're doing this.
Dude, I hope Chuck Norris comes out of retirement and kicks their ass.
I don't know if any of you have ever gone back and actually watched some of these old 90s staples that everyone just loves. Everyone loved the camp. Everyone loved the, I mean, it made Chuck Norris a legend. I went back and I watched for maybe 30 seconds before I wanted to start removing pieces of my face.
Which one?
Walker, Texas Ranger. It was just so, so terrible.
Bad. It was Superman and Lois really quick. So it's people that have already been playing these characters. And here's the synopsis. It is follows the comic book's most famous journalists as they deal with all the stress, pressures, and complexity that come with being working parents in today's society. We're getting super parents.
I'm confused. Are they doing, did they retcon that at the end of Crisis on Infinite Earths? Because she says something about how he needs to get home to his boys. Confused.
Yep. They have two kids.
Wonderful.
So that's you got Superman as a dad and Lois figuring out how to be a working mom.
I gotta reference the Mallrats conversation here. I mean, blow out her back like a shotgun.
No, because it happened on Argo where he doesn't have any powers and.
Okay.
Right, yeah.
Well, then still, he's an alien race. They should not be compatible.
Yeah, they should. But
tell that to Star Trek, man.
That must have been a rough childbirth. I don't know, man.
The baby's kicking really hard. It broke all of my ribs.
Right. An All-American Hero reboot. We talked about that 3 years ago. It got canceled. They were making an All-American Hero reboot. CBS was.
I read that article about Superman and Lois, and I just cringe, dude. Cringe, man. They're reaching now. I think television, the CW is now reaching, and it's that old analogy of throwing shit against the wall and seeing what sticks. That's right. What's going on.
You gotta think you're panicking right now.
Well, no, here's the thing.
You're supposed to throw spaghetti against the wall. What are you doing to your walls, dude?
I like these two characters. I like what they do as Superman and Lois, that I've seen them when they show up on Supergirl or the crossovers. I like them way more than Batgirl, and Batwoman got renewed for a second season. So I actually would rather see this.
This show got a lot better as it progressed.
Episodes are rough. Once again, who's interested in seeing Superman being super dad without it being a comedy? Like, seriously.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, come on. Well, seriously. Let me go beat Lex Luthor. Oh, but don't forget to pick up the pair of diapers on the way home.
I don't know why, but I just got the theme music from Full House going through my head.
Think about that. That only means John Cryer definitely has a job for a long time because he could be on two shows at the same time.
I don't give a crap, man. I don't want to see Superman changing diapers. I don't want to see Superman taking Lois out of the date, dude. It was hard enough to go through Lois and Clark.
Well, you got to remember that Lois and Clark was a huge thing for ABC.
It was like the number one show on television.
No, that's what I'm saying. I've watched it. I've seen it all. I get it. But, dude, there was something different about that. Now you're trying to interweave this.
There was. And I'm hoping that they can, between the two people that they're actually getting to fill the roles, I'm hoping that they can recapture some of that magic. Because people rioted when that show ended. It was bad.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to recapture that. I just don't. First of all, the guy who plays Superman, I can't think of his name. Tyler. I don't know. He's dry. He is dry. That character. Yeah, that character's dry.
I think he does a good job. But Jack says if you can have half elves, you can have half Kryptonians.
Jack also said he would watch a reboot of Knight Rider.
Don't work here, bud.
What's that?
D&D rules don't work here, man.
and Jack, I haven't even caught up on the whole CW thing, but if you would, your comment about seeing more Flash would be answered probably. I don't know.
Episode 4. Check it out.
And then they also want an Airwolf reboot in the chat room, says Josh.
Really? Come on.
I liked Airwolf. Okay. The Walker show, Walker, Texas Ranger. Jared Padalecki is playing Cordell Walker, a widower and a father of two with his own moral code, who returns home to Austin after being undercover for 2 years, only to discover there's harder work to be done at home. He'll attempt to reconnect with his children, navigate clashes with his family, and find unexpected common ground with his new partner, one of the first women in Texas Rangers history. Oh, increasingly suspicious about the circumstances surrounding his wife's death.
Sorry, hairball.
See, this is what I was talking about when I said the CW is panicking.
This is thoroughly uninspired.
Wait, right? Becon joined in the chat room and says, "I want a Charles in Charge reboot." Yes, I'm all about that.
Right now, if my
Scott Baio looks the same as he used to.
He does, yeah.
If my father was actually buried, he would be turning in his grave right now. It's just, yeah. Walker, Texas Ranger. Hey, teen issues.
Back to the Airwolf thing really quick. Josh gives a great comment on here, and he says, "I mean, I want to see the writers struggle to find out how many problems can be solved with one chopper."
Wait, I got one. I'm putting it. Airwolf versus Blue Thunder. There you go.
Boom. I want to know what a very special episode of that would look like.
All right. So Padalecki is a Texan, and I really wish Nick would have been on this cast because we could have got our angry Texan to talk about it.
Or you get Super on there so she could, you know.
She's not a Texan, though. We got a Texan.
But she would shed that tear because Padalecki has a job again. Albeit it's only going to be for one season, but still, you know.
I give it 8 episodes.
Dude, I don't even think he makes it past the damn pilot.
I don't know. Apparently, it's a really sought-after pilot. Apparently, people really liked it, and I don't know if it's because, you know, they're just hoping to bank in on that supernatural.
Yeah, pilot. I know. I mean,
I think it'll survive if they get a cameo from Chuck Norris, and then 8 episodes in, get a cameo from the guy who played Renegade.
Jesus.
There you go.
Lorenzo Lamas?
Yeah, it might make
it. Yeah.
It might make it.
Beat that nostalgia horse until it freaking turns to dust.
And then right after that, next year CW is gonna get going with a reboot of Golden Girls.
These reboots. So what's gonna end up happening is you've got the Arrowverse. The Arrowverse is now just Earth Prime because Arrow's over, you know, and they've got the first episode of the Green Arrow and Canaries that's gonna air this next week. So but what's going to happen is you're going to get the Rebootiverse. So you're going to have Walker, and then you're going to get all these other shows that are going to reboot, and then they're going to all tie in together, and they're going to have a big crossover every year.
Well, they already did a crossover of Hawaii 5-0 and the new Magnum PI, so now we need to have Jip Padalecki fly out to Hawaii. Just connect all that up.
And have Chips and Cheers. Yeah.
But the Dax Shepard version of Chips. They did the movie Chips. They can't do that one. And A-Team's done the movie, so... yeah, that leaves us with Alf. Jeez. Or Small Wonder.
And they're tying
us. Yes, together. Let's do Small Wonder.
Since you brought up Golden Girls, it is Betty White's birthday today. She is 98.
She is literally older than sliced bread.
That's true.
It is absolutely true.
I honestly think she's the only person on this earth that's actually entertained us on all forms of communication or entertainment.
Yeah, including
theater. Radio, painting, black and white, color TV, movies, silent movies, probably. I don't know. Probably throw it in there. Traveled over the seas and entertained the troops. I mean, she's done it all.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Let's get quick reactions to the other TV news on what Westworld did at CES. Did you guys look at this?
Have not.
Yeah. That looked creepy.
I avoided it because I'm going to try to get myself caught up in that.
It has nothing to do with spoilers. This doesn't.
It doesn't talk about the show almost at all.
No. What they did at CES was they partnered up with, the company that they were using was called Insight, but that wasn't the actual, it wasn't a real company. They partnered up with Golden Spoon, I think, or
something like that.
Giant
Girls.
Marketing agency Giant Spoon. And they invited all these website writers. This is from Forbes. I saw one from Gizmodo. And they had all these people come in for a dinner. And they asked to be able to look at their social media.
Mm-hmm. You had to sign in order to get into the dinner, you had to sign a waiver allowing them access to all of your social media data.
Yes. So, This is what was explained. This is an activation and celebration of the latest season of Westworld. We are here with Insight, which is the fake company, which is a company that's featured in the third season, and tonight is their keynote address where they'll be unveiling their strategy engine, a tool that can use your data to benefit you and help you chart a course in life, basically eliminating the need for you to make tough decisions. This is literally a dinner we're serving where the main course is your data. And literally everything that happened from that point on to all these writers, the people that were serving them, that were dealing with them, that were talking to them, knew every little thing about them from social media, the name of their dog, what type of food they liked because of what they were posting, all this different stuff, got really deep into it. Mm-hmm. And it came to the point that there was guests that were talking about how their experience was going that were plants that were not actual. So you couldn't tell who mm-hmm. was an actual person, who was a plant, who was a, it got really crazy weird. And Gizmodo, when they talked about it, was like, we got trolled because they literally were like making jokes about them.
That's some Black Mirror shit, dude.
It was.
It is. Absolutely. Yeah. I heard a podcast that I listened to, one of the girls on, Maude Garrett. She does a lot of, you know, entertainment nerd reporting. And I think she might've actually been at that dinner. She said it freaked her out. Like, people were asking her about her dog. And, you know, it's just losing her mind. She said she felt deeply unsettled.
Yeah, it reminds me of that meme that's going around right now. Like, guy standing outside holding a freaking protest sign that says, if you could please stop using targeted ads for things that I've only thought about.
I thought you were talking about Baby Yoda.
Some of the stuff said in here. They walked into the room. They started handing out hors d'oeuvres to different people. And one of the people's like, they just offered me Dom P. This is a drink from my wedding.
Dom Perignon is a champagne.
But yeah. Only her. They weren't offering it to everybody. They only offered it to her.
Yeah.
That's what I mean about the preciseness of this. Was it makes it really creepy when you think about it, how much they can get from the social media of our lives.
Yeah, I think about the stuff that I've posted over the last, I don't know, 10 years since I joined Facebook. If you just exhaustively went through all that stuff, you would have a real good idea of who I am as a person.
Yeah, it's true.
I would also call the cops probably too, but you know.
It's different.
Yeah, because the writer brings up, how do they know my dog's name? Someone said, sounding concerned. I'm not even on social media. I began to feel a bond with my table mates. And after clinking glasses, I went on my phone to find them on LinkedIn. And then it was only then that they began to question if any of them were really real or simply just data scrappers doing this fake company's bidding type of thing. Like they didn't know who was who. Mm-hmm. This is the crazy weird thing about this. Like, this is a very immersive experience.
Well, yeah. And I mean, with the metadata that they get on from Facebook and LinkedIn and every social media site that we use all day, I mean, they can amass just ridiculous amounts of information.
Yeah. If you look at my Twitter, Instagram, yeah. Facebook, Bumble, Tinder, Reddit, all this very stuff.
MySpace.
Oh God, yeah, back in the day. Yeah, let's go back to like 2003.
I guarantee they went back to that.
Christ, let's not.
But I guarantee they were doing this data grab. They went back to all that type of stuff for these people.
Yeah, I mean,
it's not surprising.
And just from the pop up music as soon as you went to my MySpace page being Alkaline Trio or something like that. I don't understand how this all ties into Westworld 3, and I like still don't even know what the hell the story is.
The big focus on this was that Westworld is no longer, you're not in Westworld. Now Westworld is in your world.
Yeah, that's out in the world. In
this article. So that's the thing, is now your information is available to everyone, everywhere, everybody, including the non-humans, the robot. And so it's that's what I think the tie-in is. I think that's going to be the thing. It's like...
Skynetting you.
No, yeah. No. Do they give them the blue pill or the red pill?
Well, Dolores is going to track down Jesse and get the blue meth.
Yes.
Jack says, I am social media. I mean, this is where this was at the Consumer Electronics Show, which they usually don't do activations there, but now they're starting to, like they do at Comic-Con and stuff. This was the first one time Westworld had done it. And this is just where technology is going to where how immersive these experiences are getting. I mean, I go to experiences all the time at Comic-Con. And each time they're like more awesome. When I did the Taco Bell 2099 four-course dinner, it was awesome. It's crazy. But if I had walked into an experience like this where they able to go back 20 years and stuff and look at, you know, the different stuff and talk about that, it would have been very creepy and weird.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the world that we're going to.
I want to see some of the. I want to see some of the logs from the chat rooms back in the AOL days.
Oh Jesus! Oh
ASL.
Oh God! Please don't.
It'll take him 5 minutes to load up.
Yeah.
Teenage me is setting himself on fire in 1996 right now, dude.
So now seeing how they're tying into social media and how you're being watched, because they were bringing that up at San Diego Comic-Con, what are your guys' thoughts for Westworld Season 3? That's we got our announcement when it's coming out. So it's coming out in a few months.
March. Yes, I cannot wait. I love that show. I don't know what the hell is going on in that show, but I trust them. It's really well written.
Unpopular place for a nerd to be. I have not seen a single episode of Westworld.
You should watch it.
Oh, it's
good. I know I should.
And with Sonic can
watch. No, I should. And just from the fact that my boys on Man at Arms Reforged had a whole episode where they rebuilt the Man in Black's Bowie knife from scratch, I know I have to watch it. And I've been slacking, and I feel terrible, to be honest with you.
I'm kind of jealous of you because you get to watch it for the first time.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, I'm.
Hold on a second. Where was this jealousy when I mentioned I never saw Game of Thrones? F you, dude.
No, that was pure judgment.
F you, buddy.
Game of Thrones is one thing.
Game of Thrones is the most popular show in the world.
If Game of Thrones had only been in two seasons and you hadn't watched it yet, then
it would have been less of a deal.
Seven
seasons, and that was when it was like, really?
Whatever. No one was even liking the last four, so shut up. You're
still hitting on the point of people giving you crap for talking about for not seeing Game of Thrones.
Yes, no, because that was huge. That was emotionally scarring for my life on Malice Corp.
Yeah, remember this in 10 years when we're talking on the cast and he brings it up again.
That was a beatdown on that day. That was a beatdown. I'm surprised I'm still on this cast.
I am too. It took you that long to watch one of the biggest nerd properties in the world.
It only took me two weeks, punk.
Oh. It took you that long to get to it.
All right, let's go on to I want to get your guys' thoughts on the Trevorrow Star Wars script for Duel of the Fates was the name of what episode 9 was going to be.
Oh God, just the name. I mean, bringing it full circle like that, because you go all the way back to the freaking first episode 1, not episode 4. Episode 1, best scene in that movie was called the Duel
of the Trade Federation. No?
Hey, you shut the mouth.
Misa, thank you. Crazy. No.
It was the fight between Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon and Darth Maul, obviously.
Oh, absolutely.
And the music that was set to was called Duel of Fates. It was the original track list made by John Williams for that entire fight scene. And to bring it full circle like that all the way back to episode 9 from episode 1 would have been amazing to me. I don't care what the
script. Colin Trevorrow is a pretty clever guy.
I know. And just the fact that he decided to name it that, I was on board before I even started reading anything that was happening in it.
And this has all been confirmed. This is all legit. Robert Mayer Burnett, look him up on YouTube. He goes through the entire script. We're not going to go through a full 2-hour script. I'm just going to give you the points that were on Reddit. As they broke them down. What were you gonna say, Masonic? Go ahead.
No. I was gonna say when you read through it, I honestly understand why they didn't go with it. Because to me, yeah, no, I looked at it and it looked like they were trying to do too much in one movie. They were trying to tell three different
The rushed front half of the movie that they went with. I once again love the movie, but the front half is rushed. They tried
no, absolutely. I agree with you. The front half is rushed. They should have gave it more time. But when I'm reading through that, they're trying to because honestly, when it comes down to it, Rey is the main character out of the remaining three movies. That's the given. And when you look through all everything, they were trying to give too much to me. They were trying to give too much to Poe, to Finn, and to Rose. They were trying to make too much of that, and that would have took
in the Trevor version. Yeah,
and that would have took away from the main character, which is Rey and Kylo Ren. Yeah, they did have Kylo Ren in there, but if you read through it, they were just trying to do too much in one movie.
And the Trevorrow version has them doing the whole side mission thing again, which they did in episode 8. with Rose and Finn. Like, it felt a little repetitive, maybe.
Well, I'll go. I'm not going to read every single little point because it's literally the entire story. So I'll just go to the things that were like set apart from what we got that seemed kind of cool and get your thoughts. Rey, disguised as a Tusken Raider, is revealed to have created her own weapon early in the film, a double bladed lightsaber hybrid of her staff and Luke's cracked saber.
Okay.
Didn't have to wait till the end.
I saw that Jedi Order.
But you didn't have to wait till the end for her to create her own saber. She should have had her own weapon. So
yeah, but didn't need one because she kept getting hand-me-downs.
Poe, Finn, Rose, Rey, and BB-8 steal a Star Destroyer and escape.
Well, better than attacking a Star Destroyer with horses.
Hey, you know what? Those horses were badass. Don't even freaking start.
Another one. I really, really like the look of. I wish we could have gotten this. Coruscant, no longer a vibrant city. The new structures are built atop the Art Deco structure of the Old Republic, occupied by the First Order.
Uh-huh.
Citizens are scavengers now. Hux the Chancellor.
So it's Futurama.
Well, kind of Futurama. It was Futurama before Futurama was Futurama. Because if you read the old...
A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
Yeah, kind of like that.
All right.
Well, no, the old extended universe versions of Coruscant were basically that setup. You had the old city from the very first construction on the planet, and everything is just built up and up and up and up and up and up and up further and further.
So Chicago.
So kind of like Chicago, yeah. Just a little bit taller.
Slightly.
But yeah, I like the way that they tied the undercities into the narrative for what was going on in the glitzy, glamorous top portions of it. That always made a lot of good storytelling for the old EU. And I really would have liked to see what they could have done with it in the movie, because that's something that they don't really get to layer in. They don't get to layer in how much of the New Republic and New Order and New every time somebody takes over, somebody builds just over the top of whatever was there before them. And that's something that Star Wars didn't really address. And I think it would have been nice to see it.
And Herbalistic Puff says, I like the Finn and Rey because it gave a clash to the Rey Kylo thing. And then Jax says, Coruscant is 1,000 cities built on top of each other, I think is what he meant.
Exactly.
Probably. So. I think this is something that was really, really missed that I would have loved to have kept and gone with JJ's thing. Kylo Ren is haunted by Luke's Force Ghost.
That would be amazing.
No.
Mark Hamill just constantly giving him shit. That would be fantastic. Yeah.
Luke, this is where the dark path leads, an empty tomb. Kylo, retort, where did your path lead? Luke is trying to convince him to go back to Leia. Kylo, I'm going to be more powerful than any Jedi, even you. It's back and I would have loved the back and forth. I'm sorry.
I want to see Kylo Ren sitting down to have breakfast and Luke like a glass of orange juice off the table.
Yeah, just knocking it off the table. Like a freaking sitting on the freaking like table with a damn cat. Just
in a way though, I'm kind of glad it didn't go that way. I really did, because when you look at it, Force Ghosts are obviously Jedi half and Sith rely on masters and stuff like that. They don't rely on Force Ghosts. I'm glad they didn't do. Once again, I think when you read it, they try to bring in some of the George Lucas kind of like final three. They try to do the best of both worlds. And when you really look at that would have been episode 9, chapter 1, or volume 1, volume 2. That would have been two movies worth of stuff. But at the same time, I really do think when you go back and look at that, it branches off too much from what the nine.
Closing of a trilogy, you should be bringing stuff back in rather than still branching out. I get that.
Yeah, that was totally going to make it to where you're going to have episode 10, episode 11, episode, which clearly they're not going to do.
Yeah, well, you got to understand too that when you're J.J. Abrams had a rat's nest of freaking storylines to tie up at the end of
this. Yeah, Ryan Johnson worked a lot of my crap.
And even when you try and tie those up, there are still branching phrase out of whatever's left over. I mean, you can't close anything up perfectly. I mean, even they, one of the things that I love that they did was they threw an extra character in Lando's daughter into
the movie. No, it wasn't Lando's daughter. We don't know that. What? That's what it was. That's what she was originally supposed to be, but they never confirmed that. Or
I'm pretty sure I saw it confirmed by one of the directors.
No, no, that's originally what they were.
They cut that out. Yeah.
Well, there was a huge creep factor about. Well, let's go find out when he at the end.
In fact, to be honest with you, that I don't know if anyone's ever thought about that. That seemed kind of creepy. That was old man Lando trying to put the moves on a 20-year-old.
Yeah, and that's why, like I said. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that I read the confirmation on that is his daughter that was taken by the First Order. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that he's been trying to do the entire time he's been not working with the Resistance was trying to find her. And he finally did at the end. Two things
I'm glad they didn't go with on this. They brought up that instead of Palpatine, Kylo found a thing that directed him to Palpatine.
It's a holocron.
Yeah, and it directs him to Palpatine's master, who trained him. Which, yeah, I don't need that.
Dead.
No, yeah, because that's the whole tragedy of Darth Plagueis, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
It wasn't Plagueis. It was Tor of all. Where's Tor Valum? Tor Valum, master of Sith, Palpatine's teacher, was the name that they gave. I'm glad they didn't go that route. They messed up.
I'm glad they didn't too.
Plagueis got messed up more, so they smelted some Mandalorian armor face.
Beskar.
Yeah, I'm glad they didn't. That's thank you for
not. I would have liked to have seen in the Trevorrow script. I think it ends with Rey teaching Force sensitive younglings, basically rebuilding the Jedi Order.
Yeah, that so way, Finn and Poe.
And we would have had a tie-up for friggin' Broom Boy from episode 8.
I do like that they did bring up more of the gray in this one, because Rey, straight up to Luke, his Force Ghost, says balance. The dark suffocates the light. Light extinguishes the dark over and over again. How is that balance in the Force? Like, they really tread onto the gray as opposed to the Jedi and the Sith. And
they tried to, but there's too much pushback from the freaking Star Wars purists that there's no gray Jedi.
Ever. Well, there's no purists. They think they're living in the real world. Anyways, something I read that I thought was actually kind of cool that you brought up is that I have read, and they haven't confirmed anything, but it doesn't sound like they're actually done with Rey as a whole. There might be talks of her of spinning off a movie, nothing in conjunction with Skywalker or anything like that.
But, it's going to be a procedural about moisture farming.
A step-by-step guide to setting up a home.
Like Captain America PSA.
Exactly. She's going to have her own YouTube channel cleaning out us on Tatooine. It's going to be like HGTV.
There is no turning for Kylo in this. Kylo is killed as Kylo was. It's revealed that Kylo was the one that killed Rey's parents at the behest of Snoke, was what the story was in this one. So they were nobody original in this script. And it's Luke, Obi-Wan, and Yoda that appear as Force Ghosts to try and save Ben, but they're unsuccessful. Boy, Anakin, they just did not want Hayden Christensen.
No, they did not want him at all.
Which I think is stupid. They should have did. They should have pulled the trigger on it. And I'm so like, I read that part and I was like, dude, this, like, once again, I'm glad this script never, because that's not Force Ghost stuff. Force Ghost, they don't get involved like that to a point. I mean, I think Luke pushed the boundaries with stopping the lightsaber and everything. But when it all comes down to it, they don't physically get involved. They don't try to do anything. They're there for knowledge and education, not to go fight a war.
Pete says #tag justice for Jake Lloyd.
I really wish they would have brought Anakin as a Force Ghost. I think that would have been a great tie into the first three.
Just grown up Jake Lloyd, though.
Absolutely, man. But they wanted to separate themselves so much from the freaking the prequels.
And Jack does bring up there was a great Jedi. His name was Anakin Solo, and they dropped him from canon. Yes, because they dropped everything from canon except
that they kept. And you know, I gotta go against you on that one, Aaron. J.J. Abrams did not ever. In fact, he embraced episodes 1 through 3. He's gone on many times before saying he liked them. So he tried to give it justice, i.e., bringing in at the end Qui-Gon and whatnot for voices and everything. So
I didn't hate 2 or 3, except for what's his name, the guy playing Anakin. I actually enjoyed them. 1 though is just utter.
I still think 3 has the best lightsaber scene of all.
It was no fun. Yeah, the lightsaber duel between Kenobi.
Anakin and Obi-Wan.
I love the high ground. Oh, and the last thing that I forgot to bring up that was in this one, Chewbacca flew a freaking X-Wing. I want to see Chewbacca wearing like the Red 5.
You can't fit in
no. X-Wing. No. He's not fitting that thing. He's not fitting it.
I was hilarious.
Let me explain something. When I was a kid, I had a dream of being an astronaut. When I hit 10 years old and I was almost 6 foot, I knew my dream was gone because I already was taller than any astronaut. Chewbacca cannot fit in an X-Wing. It would be that scene out of Police Academy where Hightower rips out the back seat and sits in the back. Like he would have to rip the droid. He would have to literally rip the droid out and sit in the back and
let me tell you a story about watching Shaquille O'Neal try to play Need for Speed in an arcade. Dude sat.
I should picture him folding in third.
He straddled the entire machine. So one leg, huge legs, tree trunks freaking sticking out to both sides. And he had one hand on the steering wheel and the other hand was messing with the freaking brake and the it looked like an octopus trying to freaking pilot a submarine.
Like an adult on one of those quarter machines where it's barely rocking, barely rocking. It
was one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen. But I'll tell you what, do not freaking try and push that into a freaking Wookiee trying to pilot a man, because I'll lose my damn mind.
I still have a hard time watching Rebels and seeing Wookiee Jedi. Like, that throws me off. You know?
The Wookiee Jedi thing? I'm all about that because I read through the entire freaking order, and Lobaka was he was amazing.
Jack Miles in the chat room says seeing Chewie in an I'm assuming he meant X-Wing is like Masonic Vader in an A-10. Warthog would fit. I don't know.
I just want to see Masonic Vader in my A-10 now.
A-10 are not comfy.
No, the freaking the canopy will never be closed. My head will be out like this and everything. Yeah, that's how it
works. Like Jim Carrey in front. Just driving with your head out the window.
I'll be playing music like Iron Eagle. Yeah.
Okay. Moving on. Science story, because we got to talk about it's all things nerd. We got to talk a little bit about science. If you guys are enjoying these shows, make sure that you're subscribing wherever you're listening, that you're dropping reviews, that you're commenting, and be here live every Friday, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time at twitch.tv/MouseCorp to interact and be a part of the show and get your thoughts in on the things we're talking about. So the science story, something has been being worked on for a while, but they learned how to basically make concrete that reproduces.
It's alive! Asexually, apparently.
It's a part of engineered living materials is what they call it, and it's basically using a bacteria, mixing it with sand and hydrogel that helped it retain water and nutrients, and it gave the bacteria something to survive on. And they were literally able to take one brick and cut it and make it 8 bricks. So this is stuff that can be used.
But they were smaller.
No. After the research split the original brick in half and added extra sand, hydrogel, and nutrients, the bacteria grew in 6 hours into 2 full-size bricks.
Okay. Because I was going to say, I can make one brick into 8 bricks. Just give me a hammer.
No. They grew back into full-size bricks. And after 3 generations in which the researchers again split the bricks, they had 8 bricks.
We're getting into flatworm technology, what you're saying.
Well, but how many loaves and fishes did they have?
I don't even know if that's earthquake-proof.
Yeah, it says, Will Srubar, a material scientist at the University of Colorado, Boulder, making bricks in Boulder.
Yeah.
nerd humor. Ah.
Sorry. And his colleagues wanted to engineer life into a bulk structure material. So they turned to a hardy photosynthetic cyanobacterial species in the genus Cyanococcus.
Sounds like science.
I like listening to you try to say science.
It is literally science fruitcake.
It's alive. Cyanococcus. That is the right
mutation. Genus.
What? The genus? Yeah, that I got wrong. Genus. But it is Cyanococcus. I got that one. I got the big one right. Okay.
They
mix the cyanobacterium with sand and hydrogel. And this is a process that they're saying the astronauts can use that go to Mars to be able to build structures. So it's a cool thing. I just wanted to get your guys' thoughts on it.
You know what? I'm okay with it. Because honestly, self-replicating bricks would be that's some science that I can get behind. Because
hell yeah.
Ever since I learned that you could grind a flatworm up into 1,000 different parts and each one would regrow an entirely new flatworm. Mm-hmm. That has blown my mind.
Oh yeah, we need to study that and get some regeneration properties going for healthcare.
Exactly.
It's awesome, but I want my hoverboard. Damn it.
I just wanted to. I mean, there's got to be a way to turn off the replicating process, right? Like, otherwise, our houses are just going to get.
I know. Otherwise, we're just going to.
I love it. Like, well, houses aren't going to be made out of this anytime soon. But imagine you could get a runway. Is literally what they used in the article. Like, we're going to use this for modeling purposes. Like, we need a runway.
I was thinking more planes than models, but okay. Oh,
okay. That's
yes, planes. That's what I think.
I want to see Matt walking down a friggin' runway made of bacteria.
It would be like that scene out of X-Men where Magneto's walking over the little metal plates and he keeps reproducing. There you go.
Oh yeah, nice.
But I think the key to it though is that they said when they reproduced it, didn't they have to add more sand and everything for it
add
to get
more sand?
Full so
that's
so
what I bet you, yeah. No. More sand and some of the hydrogel, and then it.
But so Mars is the perfect place for this.
So in other words,
kit there, and essentially you paved Mars and put up a parking lot.
So, or you just or you follow the instructions from a classic 80 movie. Just don't feed it after midnight and don't add water to it.
And Jack says that's a shit ton of bricks to drop on coyotes.
Oh my God.
So yeah, science.
Why was he referencing Michael Dukakis?
Because of my pronunciations to things. So, Pete says it's like the old video game Zookeeper, building constant walls to keep the animals in. Yep.
You are not wrong.
Not wrong. Yes. So, any other thoughts of what we could use this for, or what you would want to use it for?
When I
see it, I think about those videos where people use Top Ramen to fix holes.
It fixed anything with a bag of ramen.
Oh.
Okay. Let's finish off the show with this. Somebody's got to talk about it.
I want to see somebody standing on it and waiting for the world's slowest elevator. Just grow.
It's the fruitcake of science.
I think fruit is the fruitcake of science. It's basically the same thing.
Yeah.
Oh God, I don't want more fruitcake growing itself though. That's
exactly a killer fruitcake.
Well, that's what happened to the fruitcake from last Christmas when you go into this Christmas and you're like, where did that come from?
That sounds like a horrible 80s.
Don't those things just get regifted by everybody?
It grew into an entire tree.
I think that's how they made chia pets.
Let's get into our somebody's gotta talk about it.
We need to talk.
You talking to me?
Oh my God! Who told you?
Have you told anyone else about this?
What you talking about?
Look who's talking.
Somebody's got to talk about is the weird stories, the odd stories, the fun stories that somebody's got to talk about. We came across this one, and I wanted to use it more to talk about how our accomplishments are compared to this 17-year-old intern for
somebody discovered Tatooine.
17-year-old Wolf Cookier. I'm terrible with names, so he was an intern with NASA, and on his third day, he discovered a new planet.
Well, that's a planet that circles two suns. Somebody found Tatooine.
He said his job was to examine data beamed back via their transiting exoplanet survey satellite, a space telescope that looks for planets outside of our solar system. He noticed some variations in light, took it to his, boss, basically, and they're like, oh, let's look into that more, and there's the planet. So
I need to get a hold of that guy and ask him for the lottery numbers for next week.
Here's the thing. Yes, super impressive. You're 17 years old. You discovered a planet. But that is literally what his job was.
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly. But think about
it. His job. He did his job. Good.
On his third day in the vast expanse of the universe, like there's some NASA people there that have been there for 20 years and can't find whatever. Yeah.
No, it's you're right. Lottery numbers would be great. The guy picked the right file.
Years old. That's crazy. You go outside with your damn telescope and try to find a planet right now.
Hey, you send me the collected data of NASA specifically looking for what he found. Yeah, I'll do the same thing.
I've got a video with Top Ramen fixing a hole.
But you're right. He should be picking the lottery numbers because he just happened to get the right file.
That's so crazy. That's like straight contact right there. That's the movie right there. Next thing you know, we're gonna have aliens.
He was giving Jodie Foster weird dreams.
Hey, I'm good with it.
So he's still in high school.
Mm-hmm.
He's back at his high school. He says after graduating high school, he wants to go to university. While he's there, he's planning to study physics and astrophysics, and from there, a career in space research is appealing. I think he's pretty much set already.
I think if you're the kid that discovered a planet when you were 17 at NASA, you have a job waiting for you.
There's two things I want to say. First of all, Pete in the chat room says, went for a box of power converters, found the planet. It's safe to say this guy is going to be, for the rest of his life, he's going to go to every freaking space convention. He is just going to...
He's going to be hanging out with Bobak Fidowski.
Let's just say he's not going to be lonely anymore. Doesn't matter where he goes. He's
Have you seen pictures of the kid? The unibrow is strong.
Jack says, well, his life peaked at 17, so he's basically calling him Al Bundy. That's going to be sitting in his...
He's going to have an exact replica of the telescope that he used to find the thing.
What's the guy's name?
Wolf something.
Wolf? They wanted to name the planet Wolftopia, but he doesn't get to name
it. His brother suggested
that. I was about to say, we're going to live on Wolftopia.
Wolf Cuckier.
Cuckier, yeah. Last name. So.
Cuckier? Did you say Cuckier?
Cuckier.
C-U-K-I-E. Cuckier? Cuckier?
How the hell is there two wolves in pop culture in the last two years? What is
this? And then there's Finn Wolfhard.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking
about. Wolfhard.
Oh, okay.
Wolfcar.
Yeah.
We don't talk about Wolfhard.
Leave some kids for the rest of us. But the question I have for you is,
He said leave some ladies for the rest of us, not leave some kids for the rest of us.
That's what I said. I don't know. The question I have for you guys is, what's the biggest accomplishment you've done on your third day at work?
I figured out how to properly unbox the frozen bagels at Einstein and put them on the racks.
I sold one of the most expensive beds.
Within 3 days?
On my first day.
You want a true story? Here's a true story for you. Within 3 days of showing up at basic training, I did, and this is true according to the drill sergeant that was making me do push-ups.
Mm-hmm.
I did more push-ups than any recruit that he had seen come through there.
My 3 days into basic training, I had successfully not fled.
Yeah. Three days into basic training, I had done, I think his count was 1,750 push-ups.
Oh, you're talking about being punished.
Yes, I'm talking about just being punished. Okay. Not actually doing.
You're not saying, like, look how badass I am, I can do all these push-ups.
No.
You're saying you
No, I'm saying I made the drill sergeants that angry for 72 hours. And they were like, you know what? If you don't die before you get there, we're going to be upset.
You're going to be the strongest man. You're going to be in the arm wrestling team.
Exactly. They told me there are two types of soldiers. There are strong soldiers and there are smart soldiers. And you are not one of the latter.
You're Artie from Pete and Pete, the strongest man in the world.
Yeah, 3 days in anywhere, I was still learning stuff. So I have nothing to claim to fame.
Flag off the flagpole.
Three days, I set a Fort Benning record for doing push-ups.
Petopolis made apple pies at McDonald's 3 days in.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Deep fryer. And
Econ brings up the Polk High School finest scored 4 touchdowns in 1 game. So.
Yeah, but Pat Mahomes just threw 6 in the NFL playoffs. So.
Oh, but that's our somebody's going to talk about it. And you know, the best thing about this, we have all this stuff going on that we talked about, and we didn't take the easy out, the easy trending topic to talk about. And that was National Treasure 3 with Nick Cage.
Oh, God.
So, yeah. So
you bastard.
Whoa.
Right at the end.
Yizzle.
Whoa.
What now?
Yeah.
right before we started broadcasting on Twitter, the number one trending topic is National Treasure 3.
My prayers have been answered.
Stop praying.
I've been waiting for this for 7 years.
Okay. So that's our cast for this week.
Wait, hold on a sec. Nick Cage.
It is created. So I will talk to you guys all about that stuff as I close out of here. Everybody else you can chit-chat, follow, and interact with. A.A. Ron, where can people interact with you outside of this cast?
In the kitchen.
You can find me all over social media. I am at Dos Newport Kid on Instagram and on Xbox Live and PlayStation Network.
After this, are you going to start filming your cooking show?
Dude, if I can, I will.
Wow, there's a hair piece. Hey, what's up, bud?
I see. Where can people follow you outside of this cast?
At I See Zorro on Twitter, Instagram, and PlayStation Network.
And in the Batcave.
Yeah. Or, yeah, randomly in Lodo in downtown Denver.
Batcave in Denver.
Hey, Endor is now trending, but not for the reasons that we would think. So. Masonic Vader, where can people follow you?
Masonic Vader on PlayStation Network, Masonic Vader 71 on Twitter. And yeah, good times. Smack Talk coming back soon.
And if you want to follow me, you could follow me on Twitter at @Mest_MaliceCorp or on Instagram at @Mest5150. But come interact with all of us. Drop articles, drop insights, funny gifts, memes, whatever you want. We have a group on Facebook. It's the All Things Nerd Podcast on Facebook. It's available for everybody to show what they're looking, what nerdy things they're into. And to interact with other geeks and nerds and just everybody.
Bring us all your memes, please.
Anything you want to drop there. We have fantastic photos from Petopolis right now for some of the photos that he's doing on his Lego and toy projects. Different articles that are coming from Robert McCulloch Bryson that's finding a bunch of stuff out there for us to. But it's just interacting, talking all week long, having fun. So look up the All Things Nerd Podcast on Google Groups, or not Google Groups, on Facebook Groups, and come join us there. And anywhere that you're listening to this, once again, make sure you're subscribing, make sure that you're dropping a comment or reviewing, and thank you guys for checking us out. We will be back next Friday, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and you keep nerding on.